your prayers this morning if the Lord would meet with us and bless us. Without the Spirit of the Lord, we don't have anything this morning. That's, we can try in all of our human efforts and wisdom, and it just falls flat unless the Lord blesses. So I would encourage each one that let's open up our heart to the Lord this morning and seek the Lord to bless us together. Let's get something for ourselves out of His Word this morning. Thankful to be here this morning. I haven't been in Fresno before, but I've enjoyed the service, and it's a blessing to be able to go. It doesn't matter what part of the country, you can feel the blessings of the Lord there. And I appreciate the saints this morning. Well, I begin this morning in Ephesians in the 4th chapter. Ephesians in the 4th chapter, beginning with the 15th verse. Said, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. He said to grow up in Him, speaking of Jesus, to grow up in Jesus. And I believe to each one this morning that is saved and is, their heart is on the things of God and you want to make heaven your home, your desire would be to grow up in Jesus, to grow up in the things of Christ. And I have found that, and I'm sure you have too, that when you get saved and sanctified, that's just the starting point. That's just the beginning. And that doesn't mean that some people have the impression that once you get sanctified, you don't have to battle the flesh anymore. Everything's okay, no temptations, things are going to go smoothly, and you're never going to have battles anymore. Well, I haven't found that to be so this morning. I've found it that even though you're filled with the Holy Spirit and sanctified, you're still going to have to battle the flesh. There's still going to be trials that come your way. There are still going to be things, inclinations of the flesh, that the devil is going to try to cause you to yield to. But I'm thankful that with the Spirit of God that we have power over the flesh. We have power over ourselves. But I'm thinking this morning it says that we might grow up into Him. There is a place that once you've been saved and sanctified, there is still a growing process that needs to be done. You look at the attributes, the fruit of the Spirit, and you see love and joy and peace and long-suffering and think about forgiveness and all of those characteristics. And I see areas that, Lord, help me to grow in those places in my life. And when we get sanctified, we will have a good foundation to grow in those areas. But there's going to be a place for growing. And if we get to a place that we don't think we have any more growing to do, we need to open up our eyes and allow the Spirit to talk to us. Because we will be growing until the day the Lord comes back for us. And I want to grow up in the Lord. I want, as the time goes on, we want to be growing. We don't want to be losing ground spiritually. And a few years ago, the young people sang the song, many times, giving up no ground. But I think of that often and think, well, I don't want to just give up ground. I want to be gaining some ground. And it is not the desire of God's will for our life that we would get saved and sanctified and then stay in the place that we're at this morning. It is God's will that we would be doing some growing. That we would be growing up into the fruit of the Spirit and in the attributes of salvation and in the things of the, think of forgiveness, for example. There are times that each one of us, something has happened that has been difficult to deal with. It's been difficult to come to the place that you can freely forgive and say, I give all my love to that person. Well, in the Spirit, we can do it, but we're going to have to battle the flesh. The flesh is still there, but as we grow in our Christian experience, we should bring the flesh completely under submission to the will of God. Well, growing up in Him in all things. I don't know what areas of weaknesses you have this morning. I know that I have weaknesses, and I know each one of you do too. But the Scripture says that we might grow up in all things. Your weaknesses that you have, the battles that you have this morning, God wants you to do some growing in those areas. God wants you to grow up in Him. And it is a process of time, but there is a place that as we stay faithful and submit our will to God's will, He will give us complete victory in every area of our life. Amen. That is something in nominal Christianity. You don't hear. You can't live above sin. And there are some things you just have to live with. I don't find the Bible teaching that. I find the Word of God teaching us that we can bring everything under to the will of God. We can bring ourselves under, our attitudes, our feelings, our emotions. We can bring those things under to where the Lord is the one that it has preeminence in our life. To grow up. Thinking about growth, I'm sure that some of you have planted gardens, and I'm not much of a gardener, but I know that when you want something to grow, you have to feed it. Physically, for someone to grow, a child, for them to grow, they're going to have to be fed. They're going to have to eat properly. They're going to have to drink properly. When you have a garden, if you go out and plant the seed and just let it stay there and you don't water it, you don't fertilize it, you're not going to have very good success. Sometimes you'll get a little something, maybe your little plant will start to come up, but the fruit won't be real good, it won't prosper. It won't be one of those gardens that people go by and look at and say, well, that's a beautiful garden. Because you haven't been taking care of it. You haven't been feeding it. You haven't been watering it, giving it the nutrients that it needs. Well, that's the same way it is in our life spiritually. And I want you to consider this question for yourself this morning. If you don't take anything else with you, I want you to take this. What are you feeding in your life this morning? There are things in our life that in a garden, for example, you go and you water where you planted the seed. And when we get saved and sanctified, there has been a seed planted. And it will grow, but it's still going to have to receive the proper care. Well, as the fruit of the Spirit, as those kinds of characteristics need to be fed, you know the devil has some things that he's wanting you to feed also. Brother, sister, so-and-so didn't treat me right. How's my attitude? How's my love? Have I been able, the things that happened to me in the past, to be able to completely forgive that person and have a genuine divine love for that individual? Do you know that when someone does something to you and you're not willing to forgive that person, and every time you see the individual that comes to your mind, you are feeding a bad attitude. You are feeding unforgiveness. And there are things that transpire in our life where we might say, I'm not giving in to the flesh, but we make provision for it. Does that bring a scripture to mind? Romans the 13th chapter. Romans the 13th chapter and the 14th verse. He said, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. We think, well, a Christian should not fulfill the lust. A Christian should not lust and give in to sin. But saints, this scripture goes farther than that. This scripture says, make not provision to fulfill the lust thereof. There are areas in people's life where they have not given in to the enemy. They're saying, I'm going to take a stand and I'm not going to give in to the flesh. But yet they make provision. They leave room. The definition of feed is to furnish what is necessary to the growth or function of something. To provide, to furnish what is necessary for growth. You may say, well, I didn't plant the seed, and I'm not giving in to sin. But if you furnish what is necessary for lust to be there, if you furnish what is necessary that would make it easy for the flesh to give in, the Lord's not pleased with it. And these are areas in our life that I would have you consider in the fear of God this morning. What are you feeding in your life? What kind of thoughts? What kind of things have you been meditating on? The places you go, you may say, it's not sin. It's not wrong for me to do these things. I'm not giving into it. But yet, I would again ask you, are you providing an environment that the devil can work in your life? Are you providing an environment that would be good for something to grow in? That's why they have greenhouses. Because without the protection of a greenhouse, some plants don't prosper very good. And so the desire would be then for these plants to grow, and so they protect it. And they put it in a greenhouse. And in doing that, they are providing an environment for that plant to grow. And spiritually speaking, we can provide an environment for good things, to grow up in Christ, or we can be providing an environment where the devil can come in and take advantage of us. And there are times people come, they go along and they say, I'm making a stand for God, and then they find themselves slipping, find themselves giving in to the flesh, finding themselves maybe thinking about the person with an attitude that's not real good, thinking about it more and more, but yet they still say, I'm going to forgive them, I'm going to love them, but yet they keep thinking about it. Do you know that's providing an environment for that attitude to grow? If you want to have love and forgiveness, you need to seek it from God, and then there's a place to put those things behind you. Stop thinking about it. Quit meditating upon it. Because when you continually do that, you're providing the devil an environment to come in, and he's going to feed it. He's going to water that thing. And there the Scripture talks about being aware lest any root of bitterness spring up. Defile us. It says, whereby many be defiled. There is a place that we may not give in to the flesh. But the Scripture says, don't make provision for it. Don't provide the environment. Don't furnish what is necessary for that type of thing to grow in your life.
Amen.
If you go out and you, someone that wants to have a good garden, they'll go out and they'll get some of the soil and they'll test it to see what kind of nutrients are in the soil. And if they see, if you're growing tomato plants, and they see the soil's not very good, they'll go get some fertilizer that will give it the proper nutrients, so that those tomato plants would flourish. Well, by the same token, the enemy is there wanting the ground to be so the weeds would flourish. The things you don't want to grow. But if I sit back and I know that this is just a prime environment for weeds to grow, and I'm not willing to do anything about it, do you know that it is, I am allowing the devil to plant some seeds. There are people that say, well, I've been overtaken by the devil. Saints, we are not overtaken by the devil unless we allow it. We are not overtaken by the devil unless somewhere along the way we have made a decision to make provision for the flesh, because we've just let it go and we have not labored in work to provide the environment to feed those things that are conducive to godliness and spirituality. I heard a little story one time about a dog. The master had a piece of meat and he threw it. The meat was down there on the floor and there's a dog looking at it, and the master said no. He didn't want him to get that piece of meat. He said no. And there is one dog that just sat there and just eyed that piece of meat, just panting after that piece of meat, wanting to go get it. He was making provision.
Yes.
The dog might not have eaten it. He was making provision. There's another dog then. The master said no, and the dog just looked right at the master and didn't even look at that piece of meat. You know, we need to do that in our spiritual life. There are going to be things the devil will try to bring our way to tempt us. And we can look on those things and say, I'm not going to give in to it, but we can look at them longingly. And we can study those things and think about those things. We're making provision, because it won't be long. You've eyed it so long, pretty soon you're going to be getting just a step closer to it until you find yourself partaking of that thing that you one time knew was wrong. The thing that you knew was sin. But rather, we need to keep our eyes on the Master. The things in our life that God has told us, no, leave it alone. We need to get our eyes off of it and look at the Master. Looking unto Jesus, who's the author and the finisher of our faith. Consider Lot. Lot was someone, he went out and he didn't just move into Sodom. He didn't just move in, but yet he pitched his tent that way. And every morning I can see Lot getting up and coming out of his tent. And what did he see? He saw Sodom. He saw the place that looked good to be. I'd like to be over there. And I know there's wickedness, but I'd sure like to be over there. Pretty soon you read that Lot was living in Sodom. He was living in the city, and it did not happen overnight. It was a process of time, and it was because he was feeding that thing. He provided the environment for that thing to grow, and pretty soon he found himself in there. What kinds of things are you feeding this morning? Your weaknesses, the areas of temptation that the devil brings to you, are those things that you have resolved not to partake of? You keep that resolve. You keep seeking God, but I would also encourage you, don't put yourself in a place where you make provision for that thing to grow. Because when you look at that thing, you're feeding it. You're feeding the desire. Consider someone that has a problem with alcohol. You know, with someone that has resolved to give it up and has done that, it wouldn't make a lot of sense for them to go into the grocery store and every time they went to get the gallon of milk, you know what aisle they had to go down? They had to go down the aisle where they had all the alcohol and the wine, and they just looked at that and, yeah, I used to drink that. That was good. I'm not going to do that. But every time they go into the store, they have to go down that aisle and look, check it out. Do you know they're feeding that desire? That is something, if you don't want to feed it, you need to put it behind you. The resolutions that you've made, the health that God has given you, when you got saved, you put things behind you. The Scripture said, old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. But saints, once they become new, let's not start looking back to the old things. Let's not start looking back to the things that God has dealt with us that we've had to give up. Because when you begin to look back, you will find yourself going that direction. You're feeding that thing. And when you feed something, it's going to grow. When you meditate upon something, it's going to grow in your mind. It's going to get bigger. Has anything ever happened to you or someone you've known? Just a little incident, and the person hasn't been willing just to put it aside. And every time you talk to them, they told you the same story about what that person did. It seems like the offense got worse and worse and worse. You know why? It was because they were feeding that thing. They weren't willing just to forgive and to love the person and put it behind. They kept dwelling on it. They kept meditating upon it. And when you feed, it will grow. So let's not make provision to fulfill the lust, but let us keep our eyes on the Lord. There are places that we say, what kind of environment are we providing the Lord to work in? The Lord is the gardener. He comes in and the Lord is faithful to point areas out in our life. You need to do better here. I have some more grace for you right here. This is one of your weaknesses. There are things in life that the Lord deals with us individually about. There are some things that you cannot point in the Word and say that is sin. But if it is something that God has dealt with you individually about, we would be well served if we want to maintain the blessings of God on our life. We're going to have to put the thing aside. And once we put it aside, let's leave it alone. When God has pointed out an area in your life, maybe something you've been meditating upon. Maybe you've been going some places. You say it's not sin to go there. But if it is a place the devil can take advantage of you, you're making provision for the devil to work. You're feeding it, providing what is necessary for growth. You need to get out of there and leave it alone. It may not be sin, but this is an area where many people have lost their way because they say, show me in the Bible. It is not sin. But folks, if it is in an environment that is going to feed the flesh, if it is an environment where the devil can work, we need to stay away from those places.
Amen.
What types of things are you feeding on? The things you watch, the places you go, the things you read. Do you know those things feed things of the flesh? There are things they can either feed things. When you read the Word of God, you go away, you feel good. It shows areas in your life, you get blessings from the Word, you get receive correction from it, and you go away, you can go away with the desire, Lord, I want to grow up in Christ. I want to grow in those areas. But by the same token, you can read things that you're providing ground for the devil to work. Things that are going in your mind. Things that you think about, you feed them. To consider, there are many things in life and there are many things that would affect us each one differently this morning. But I find that it is easy, unless we have the Spirit of God, it's natural to feed the flesh. It's natural to cater to the flesh. The things that come easy. When someone does you wrong, what is the natural thing to do? It's to have unforgiveness. It's to have a bad attitude. It's to hold a grudge. That's natural. But yet, when we get saved and we're sanctified and the Lord's in us, we have power over what is natural. We have power over what the flesh wants to do. But to consider then, one of the things that people feed on, and I'm sure you found it in your own life, if you're not careful, to feed those things when people have wronged you. things that have happened in the past where individuals have not treated you right, it's natural to feed that thing. In Philippians in the 4th chapter, Philippians the 4th chapter in the 8th verse, it says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest." Do you know there are things that are happening? You say, "Well, it's true. They did this to me. And I'm being honest about it. This is what they did. This is what they said. And they just shouldn't have done it." Well, let's read a little further. "Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." Why was it He told us to think on those things? Folks, if the things that you think about are not of good report, if they're not pure, if they're not honest, if they're not true, if there's no praise to be found in that thing, and you let it stay in your mind, you're feeding something of the flesh. You're providing an environment for things to grow in your mind. There are individuals who are in prison because they have fed on the wrong things, and they have fed the wrong things in their life. There are individuals who they have testified, individuals who have gone to their death testifying that the reason they committed some of the crimes that they did was because of some of the books that they read. It implanted something in their mind, and they continued to think about it, and they fed that idea. They fed that thought until they went ahead and did it themselves and committed it. Well, there's that with a lot of anti-government sentiment. People feed on those kind of things. And pretty soon, it's out of proportion. The thing that happened maybe in an area someone has mistreated you, it's a little thing that the Lord wants to give you victory over, but you're not willing to give it up. You just hold on to it and think about it. When we were younger, we had opportunity to stay with someone once or twice a year. And it seemed that every time we went and stayed with this individual, they told us the same thing. They told us about what so-and-so did to me. And they said, "I've forgiven them and I put it behind me." But they proceeded to tell us again what they happened. Year after year, do you know that's feeding that thing? If you have really forgiven someone and you put it behind you and you love them, you're not going to meditate it. There's no need to go tell everyone else about it. And when you do that, that attitude and that unforgiveness will grow in your mind. And that can very quickly become sin to us, very quickly, because we've made provision. Let's think on the positive things. Think on the things, the virtue, the things where praise is to be given. In Proverbs, the 26th chapter, Proverbs 26, beginning with the 20th verse, says, "Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. As coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife." Where there's no wood, there's not going to be a fire. But where there is wood, you're providing an environment. You're providing the fuel that is necessary for there to be a fire. And again, I want to bring it down to us individually. The things in your life you've not given into sin. You've not given in to the attitude. You've not given in to the feelings and the emotions. You've not given in and began to go to some of the places that maybe the flesh wanted to go to. But if you're providing the fuel, if you're providing the wood, as so to speak here, you're providing a place for the enemy to come on and put a match on it. Amen. We need to not make provision. Amen. He said the word, "As coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife." He said, "Where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth." There are times that things happen between individuals. And something that gets us in trouble, it seems, more than anything else is our tongue. It talks about that in James. But do you know how quickly it is when something happens and there's a problem over here, how people just like to go tell others about it? The scripture says that where there's no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. There is strife that is caused, that occurs between individuals when everybody else is looking on. And they begin to talk about it. And they begin to get involved and go tell others about it. You know what's going to happen? The strife is going to continue. It's going to get bigger. There have been areas that I'm seeing, and I'm sure you have, that people have been affected for years and years because there's a problem between two people. And because everybody else got involved, because everybody else began to tell others about it and began to be a tale-bearer, the strife didn't cease. And pretty soon individuals are taking sides, and where it started with just two people, pretty soon there's groups against one another. Affected generations of family and individuals because someone somewhere fed that thing. Well, as much as we don't want to feed that in our life, let us not be guilty this morning of feeding strife and feeding it in other people's lives. Where there's a problem, our responsibility is to stay out of the situation and pray. Stay out of the situation and give God time to work. But when we begin to get involved, and many times it's not out of a bad attitude, it's not out of animosity, but people, we just like to talk. We like to know what's going on. You begin to spread those tales, and pretty soon everybody has their own idea and their own opinion of what they did over there. The strife will continue. Amen. And then there have been times people have been reconciled, and it's not so quick to go around. People aren't so quick to go and say, did you hear about them? They got together, resolved their differences, and thank the Lord for that.
Amen.
Where there's no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. Where there's no wood, the fire goeth out. There's not going to be a fire. Have you ever heard the little expression, let sleeping dogs lie? Things that have happened in the past that you've dealt with in your life, that God has given you victory over, there's no need to pull them up. There's no need. There are many things in our lives, saints, that we need to just let them go. We need to just let it go. The things that have happened to you in the past, there have been things that affected all of us where someone has not treated you right. And I don't mean just little petty things. If you've lived very long, someone has done something that has hurt you deeply. But once you've gotten the victory over it and God has given you love and forgiveness, let's put those things behind us. Because if we don't, we're going to continue to feed it.
Amen.
And it's not going to get any better. The scripture we begin with said to grow up in Him in all things. Growing up in Christ. The weaknesses that you have this morning, have you been seeking the Lord to provide an environment in your life? The things you've been thinking about, the places you've been going, the things you've involved yourself with, are you providing an environment for the fruit of the Spirit to grow in your life? Or have maybe you not been as diligent, not been quite as careful as you should, and maybe you provide a little bit of kindling. Maybe you provide an atmosphere where the devil could begin to work and begin to take advantage. I'd like you to take these few thoughts this morning. May the Lord bless us each one. It is my desire, as I'm sure it is each one of us here this morning, to make heaven our home. But to make heaven our home, we're going to have to do some growing up.
Oh,
prayers this morning if the Lord would meet with us and bless us. And without the Spirit of the Lord, we don't have anything this morning. That's, we can try in all of our human efforts and wisdom, and it just falls flat unless the Lord blesses. So I would encourage each one that let's open up our heart to the Lord this morning and seek the Lord to bless us together. Let's get something for ourselves out of His Word this morning. Thankful to be here this morning. I haven't been in Fresno before, but I've enjoyed the service, and it's a blessing to be able to go. It doesn't matter what part of the country, you can feel the blessings of the Lord there. And I appreciate the saints this morning. Well, I begin this morning in Ephesians in the 4th chapter. Ephesians in the 4th chapter, beginning with the 15th verse. Said, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. He said to grow up in Him, speaking of Jesus, to grow up in Jesus. And I believe to each one this morning that is saved and is their heart is on the things of God and you want to make heaven your home, your desire would be to grow up in Jesus, to grow up in the things of Christ. And I have found that, and I'm sure you have too, that when you get saved and sanctified, that's just the starting point. That's just the beginning. And that doesn't mean that some people have the impression that once you get sanctified, you don't have to battle the flesh anymore. Everything's okay, no temptations, things are going to go smoothly, and you're never going to have battles anymore. Well, I haven't found that to be so this morning. I found it that even though you're filled with the Holy Spirit and sanctified, you're still going to have to battle the flesh. There's still going to be trials that come your way. There are still going to be things, inclinations of the flesh, that the devil is going to try to cause you to yield to. But I'm thankful that with the Spirit of God that we have power over the flesh. We have power over ourselves. But I'm thinking this morning it says that we might grow up into Him. There is a place that once you've been saved and sanctified, there is still a growing process that needs to be done. You look at the attributes, the fruit of the Spirit, and you see love and joy and peace and long-suffering and think about forgiveness and all of those characteristics. And I see areas that, Lord, help me to grow in those places in my life. And when we get sanctified, we will have a good foundation to grow in those areas. But there's going to be a place for growing. And if we get to a place that we don't think we have any more growing to do, we need to open up our eyes and allow the Spirit to talk to us. Because we will be growing until the day the Lord comes back for us. And I want to grow up in the Lord. I want, as the time goes on, we want to be growing. We don't want to be losing ground spiritually. And a few years ago, the young people sang the song, many times, giving up no ground. But I think of that often and think, well, I don't want to just not give up ground. I want to be gaining some ground. And it is not the desire of God's will for our life that we would get saved and sanctified and then stay in the place that we're at this morning. It is God's will that we would be doing some growing. That we would be growing up into the fruit of the Spirit and in the attributes of salvation and in the things of the, think of forgiveness, for example. There are times that each one of us, something has happened that has been difficult to deal with. It's been difficult to come to the place that you can freely forgive and say, I give all my love to that person. Well, in the Spirit, we can do it, but we're going to have to battle the flesh. The flesh is still there, but as we grow in our Christian experience, we should bring the flesh completely under submission to the will of God. Well, growing up in Him in all things. I don't know what areas of weaknesses you have this morning. I know that I have weaknesses, and I know each one of you do too. But the Scripture says that we might grow up in all things. Your weaknesses that you have, the battles that you have this morning, God wants you to do some growing in those areas. God wants you to grow up in Him. And it is a process of time, but there is a place that as we stay faithful and submit our will to God's will, He will give us complete victory in every area of our life. Amen. That is something in nominal Christianity. You can't live above sin. And there are some things you just have to live with. I don't find the Bible teaching that. I find the Word of God teaching us that we can bring everything under to the will of God. We can bring ourselves under, our attitudes, our feelings, our emotions. We can bring those things under to where the Lord is the one that it has preeminence in our life. To grow up. Thinking about growth, I'm sure that some of you have planted gardens, and I'm not much of a gardener, but I know that when you want something to grow, you have to feed it. Physically, for someone to grow, a child, for them to grow, they're going to have to be fed. They're going to have to eat properly. They're going to have to drink properly. When you have a garden, if you go out and plant the seed and just let it stay there and you don't water it, you don't fertilize it, you're not going to have very good success. Sometimes you'll get a little something, maybe your little plant will start to come up, but the fruit won't be real good, it won't prosper. It won't be one of those gardens that people go by and look at and say, well, that's a beautiful garden. Because you haven't been taking care of it. You haven't been feeding it. You haven't been watering it, giving it the nutrients that it needs. Well, that's the same way it is in our life spiritually. And I want you to consider this question for yourself this morning. If you don't take anything else with you, I want you to take this. What are you feeding in your life this morning? There are things in our life that in a garden, for example, you go and you water where you planted the seed. And when we get saved and sanctified, there has been a seed planted. And it will grow, but it's still going to have to receive the proper care. Well, as the fruit of the Spirit, as those kinds of characteristics need to be fed, you know the devil has some things that he's wanting you to feed also. Brother, sister, so-and-so didn't treat me right. How's my attitude? How's my love? Have I been able, the things that happened to me in the past, to be able to completely forgive that person and have a genuine divine love for that individual? Do you know that when someone does something to you and you're not willing to forgive that person, and every time you see the individual that comes to your mind, you are feeding a bad attitude. You are feeding unforgiveness. And there are things that transpire in our life where we might say, I'm not giving in to the flesh, but we make provision for it. Does that bring a scripture to mind? Romans the 13th chapter. Romans the 13th chapter and the 14th verse. He said, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. We think, well, a Christian should not fulfill the lust. A Christian should not lust and give in to sin. But saints, this scripture goes farther than that. This scripture says, make not provision to fulfill the lust thereof. There are areas in people's life where they have not given in to the enemy. They're saying, I'm going to take a stand and I'm not going to give in to the flesh. But yet they make provision. Yes. They leave room. The definition of feed is to furnish what is necessary to the growth or function of something. To provide, to furnish what is necessary for growth. You may say, well, I didn't plant the seed, and I'm not giving in to sin. But if you furnish what is necessary for lust to be there, if you furnish what is necessary that would make it easy for the flesh to give in, the Lord's not pleased with it. And these are areas in our life that I would have you consider in the fear of God this morning. What are you feeding in your life? What kind of thoughts? What kinds of things have you been meditating on? The places you go, you may say, it's not sin. It's not wrong for me to do these things. I'm not giving into it. But yet, I would again ask you, are you providing an environment that the devil can work in your life? Are you providing an environment that would be good for something to grow in? That's why they have greenhouses. Because without the protection of a greenhouse, some plants don't prosper very good. And so the desire would be then for these plants to grow, and so they protect it. And they put it in a greenhouse. And in doing that, they are providing an environment for that plant to grow. And spiritually speaking, we can provide an environment for good things, to grow up in Christ, or we can be providing an environment where the devil can come in and take advantage of us. And there are times people come, they go along and they say, I'm making a stand for God, and then they find themselves slipping, find themselves giving in to the flesh, finding themselves maybe thinking about the person with an attitude that's not real good, thinking about it more and more, but yet they still say, I'm going to forgive them, I'm going to love them, but yet they keep thinking about it. Do you know that's providing an environment for that attitude to grow? If you want to have love and forgiveness, you need to seek it from God, and then there's a place to put those things behind you. Stop thinking about it. Quit meditating upon it. Because when you continually do that, you're providing the devil an environment to come in, and he's going to feed it. He's going to water that thing. And there the Scripture talks about being aware lest any root of bitterness spring up. Defile us. It says, whereby many be defiled. There is a place that we may not give in to the flesh. But the Scripture says, don't make provision for it. Don't provide the environment. Don't furnish what is necessary for that type of thing to grow in your life.
Amen.
If you go out and you... Someone that wants to have a good garden, they'll go out and they'll get some of the soil and they'll test it to see what kind of nutrients are in the soil. And if they see if you're growing tomato plants and they see the soil's not very good, they'll go get some fertilizer that will give it the proper nutrients so that those tomato plants would flourish. Well, by the same token, the enemy is there wanting the ground to be so the weeds would flourish. The things you don't want to grow. But if I sit back and I know that this is just a prime environment for weeds to grow, and I'm not willing to do anything about it, do you know that I am allowing the devil to plant some seeds. There are people that say, well, I've been overtaken by the devil. Saints, we are not overtaken by the devil unless we allow it. We are not overtaken by the devil unless somewhere along the way we have made a decision to make provision for the flesh, because we've just let it go and we have not labored in work to provide the environment to feed those things that are conducive to godliness and spirituality. I heard a little story one time about a dog. The master had a piece of meat and he threw it. The meat was down there on the floor and there's a dog looking at it, and the master said no. He didn't want him to get that piece of meat. He said no. And there is one dog that just sat there and just eyed that piece of meat, just panting after that piece of meat, wanting to go get it. He was making provision. The dog might not have eaten it. He was making provision. There's another dog then. The master said no, and the dog just looked right at the master and didn't even look at that piece of meat. You know, we need to do that in our spiritual life. There are going to be things the devil will try to bring our way to tempt us. And we can look on those things and say, I'm not going to give into it, but we can look at them longingly. And we can study those things and think about those things. We're making provision because it won't be long. You've eyed it so long, pretty soon you're going to be getting just a step closer to it until you find yourself partaking of that thing that you one time knew was wrong. The thing that you knew was sin. But rather, we need to keep our eyes on the Master. The things in our life that God has told us, no, leave it alone. We need to get our eyes off of it and look at the Master. Looking unto Jesus, who's the author and the finisher of our faith. Consider Lot. Lot was someone, he went out and he didn't just move into Sodom. He didn't just move in, but yet he pitched his tent that way. And every morning I can see Lot getting up and coming out of his tent. And what did he see? He saw Sodom. He saw the place that looked good to be. I'd like to be over there. And I know there's wickedness, but I'd sure like to be over there. Pretty soon you read that Lot was living in Sodom. He was living in the city, and it did not happen overnight. It was a process of time, and it was because he was feeding that thing. He provided the environment for that thing to grow, and pretty soon he found himself in there. What kinds of things are you feeding this morning? Your weaknesses, the areas of temptation that the devil brings to you, are those things that you have resolved not to partake of? You keep that resolve. You keep seeking God, but I would also encourage you, don't put yourself in a place where you make provision for that thing to grow. Because when you look at that thing, you're feeding it. You're feeding the desire. Consider someone that has a problem with alcohol. You know, it would someone that has resolved to give it up and has done that, it wouldn't make a lot of sense for them to go into the grocery store, and every time they went to get the gallon of milk, you know what aisle they had to go down? They had to go down the aisle where they had all the alcohol and the wine, and they just looked at that, and yeah, I used to drink that. That was good. I'm not going to do that. But every time they go into the store, they have to go down that aisle and look, check it out. Do you know they're feeding that desire? That is something, if you don't want to feed it, you need to put it behind you. The resolutions that you've made, the health that God has given you, when you got saved, you put things behind you. The Scripture said, old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. But saints, once they become new, let's not start looking back to the old things. Let's not start looking back to the things that God has dealt with us that we've had to give up. Because when you begin to look back, you will find yourself going that direction. You're feeding that thing. And when you feed something, it's going to grow. When you meditate upon something, it's going to grow in your mind. It's going to get bigger. Has anything ever happened to you or someone you've known? Just a little incident, and the person hasn't been willing just to put it aside. And every time you talk to them, they told you the same story about what that person did. It seems like the offense got worse and worse and worse. You know why? It was because they were feeding that thing. They weren't willing just to forgive and to love the person and put it behind. They kept dwelling on it. They kept meditating upon it. And when you feed, it will grow. So let's not make provision to fulfill the lust, but let us keep our eyes on the Lord. There are places that we say, what kind of environment are we providing the Lord to work in? The Lord is the gardener. He comes in and the Lord is faithful to point areas out in our life. You need to do better here. I have some more grace for you right here. This is one of your weaknesses. There are things in life that the Lord deals with us individually about. There are some things that you cannot point in the Word and say that is sin. But if it is something that God has dealt with you individually about, we would be well served if we want to maintain the blessings of God on our life. We're going to have to put the thing aside. And once we put it aside, let's leave it alone. When God has pointed out an area in your life, maybe something you've been meditating upon. Maybe you've been going some places. You say it's not sin to go there. But if it is a place the devil can take advantage of you, you're making provision for the devil to work. You're feeding it, providing what is necessary for growth. You need to get out of there and leave it alone. It may not be sin, but this is an area where many people have lost their way because they say, show me in the Bible. It is not sin. But folks, if it is in an environment that is going to feed the flesh, if it is an environment where the devil can work, we need to stay away from those places.
Amen.
What types of things are you feeding on? The things you watch, the places you go, the things you read. Do you know those things feed things of the flesh? There are things they can either feed things. When you read the Word of God, you go away, you feel good. It shows areas in your life, you get blessings from the Word, you get receive correction from it, and you go away, you can go away with the desire, Lord, I want to grow up in Christ. I want to grow in those areas. But by the same token, you can read things that you're providing ground for the devil to work. Things that are going in your mind. Things that you think about, you feed them. To consider, there are many things in life and there are many things that would affect us each one differently this morning. But I find that it is easy, unless we have the Spirit of God, it's natural to feed the flesh. It's natural to cater to the flesh. The things that come easy. When someone does you wrong, what is the natural thing to do? It's to have unforgiveness. It's to have a bad attitude. It's to hold a grudge. That's natural. But yet, when we get saved and we're sanctified and the Lord's in us, we have power over what is natural. We have power over what the flesh wants to do. But to consider then, one of the things that people feed on, and I'm sure you found it in your own life, if you're not careful, to feed those things when people have wronged you. things that have happened in the past where individuals have not treated you right, it's natural to feed that thing. In Philippians in the 4th chapter, Philippians the 4th chapter in the 8th verse, he says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest." You know, there are things that are happening. You say, "Well, it's true. They did this to me. And I'm being honest about it. This is what they did. This is what they said. And they just shouldn't have done it." Well, let's read a little further. "Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." Why was it he told us to think on those things? Folks, if the things that you think about are not of good report, if they're not pure, if they're not honest, if they're not true, if there's no praise to be found in that thing, and you let it stay in your mind, you're feeding something of the flesh. You're providing an environment for things to grow in your mind. There are individuals who are in prison because they have fed on the wrong things, and they have fed the wrong things in their life. There are individuals who they have testified, individuals who have gone to their death testifying that the reason they committed some of the crimes that they did was because of some of the books that they read. It implanted something in their mind, and they continued to think about it, and they fed that idea. They fed that thought until they went ahead and did it themselves and committed it. Well, there's that with a lot of anti-government sentiment. People feed on those kind of things. And pretty soon, it's out of proportion. The thing that happened maybe in an area someone has mistreated you, it's a little thing that the Lord wants to give you victory over, but you're not willing to give it up. You just hold on to it and think about it. When we were younger, we had opportunity to stay with someone once or twice a year. And it seemed that every time we went and stayed with this individual, they told us the same thing. They told us about what so-and-so did to me. And they said, "I've forgiven them and I put it behind me." But they proceeded to tell us again what they happened. Year after year, you know that's feeding that thing? If you have really forgiven someone and you put it behind you and you love them, you're not going to meditate it. There's no need to go tell everyone else about it. And when you do that, that attitude and that unforgiveness will grow in your mind. And that can very quickly become sin to us, very quickly, because we've made provision. Let's think on the positive things. Think on the things, that the virtue, the things where praise is to be given. In Proverbs, the 26th chapter, Proverbs 26, beginning with the 20th verse, says, "Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. As coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife." Where there's no wood, there's not going to be a fire. But where there is wood, you're providing an environment. You're providing the fuel that is necessary for there to be a fire. Again, I want to bring it down to us individually. The things in your life you've not given into sin, you've not given into the attitude, you've not given in to the feelings and the emotions, you've not given in and begin to go to some of the places that maybe the flesh wanted to go to. But if you're providing the fuel, if you're providing the wood, as so to speak here, you're providing a place for the enemy to come on and put a match on it. We need to not make provision. He said, "The word, as coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife." He said, "Where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth." There are times that things happen between individuals. And something that gets us in trouble, it seems, more than anything else is our tongue. It talks about that in James. But do you know how quickly it is when something happens and there's a problem over here, how people just like to go tell others about it? The scripture says that where there's no talebearer, the strife ceases. There is strife that is caused, that occurs between individuals when everybody else is looking on. And they begin to talk about it. And they begin to get involved and go tell others about it. You know what's going to happen? The strife is going to continue. We're going to have to grow up in Christ. The devil is wanting us to grow in other areas of our life. The fruit of the Spirit, the devil also has some characteristics he'd like us to take on. What are you feeding? Amen.